This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Research and Policy Analysis with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll talk about potential acreage coming up in just a few moments. First off, let's turn to Dr. Mark Welch, an A&M AgriLife grain marketing economist.
You know, at these prices, we're going to go get everything that we can, and we'll need to in many cases for insurance claims and just through that whole process. So yes, that will still play out. Typically we'd be making that decision at this time of year of forage versus grain, and even those prospects look very challenging at this point, as dry as it is, just whether he's even a stand out there yet. So it is a very frustrating situation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Sean, you know, we talk often, but maybe it's a good time to just stop and revisit something as simple as who is Plains Cotton Growers and why was PCG formed in the first place?
Yeah, sure. Plains Cotton Growers, we've been around a little while now. We just finished, just wrapped up our 65th annual meeting at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center this past week. And, you know, really, I think the main thing to kind of understand about PCG is that it's an organization that was created by the cotton producers of West Texas in order for them to have an organization to speak to their needs. And, of course, you know, back when we were formed in 1956, you know, that had a lot to do with, USDA actions when it comes to cotton allotments and transitioning from the 1949 Agriculture Act and just a lot of things that, kind of were certainly going on and very important in that time period. And as we've moved through the years, certainly we've continued to focus on the needs of the West Texas producer. And we do that in a variety of ways. We do it through, one of our primary missions is to represent producers, to our legislators and to our regulatory bodies, both at the national and at the state level, to ensure that their needs are being met and that their interests are being heard when it comes to making policy or regulation that would impact how we farm out here in West Texas. And then through the years, we've certainly expanded on that, and we're very heavily involved, of course, from the very beginning in research and how to build demand for cotton products. And so we continue to do those activities as well, certainly participating on the promotion side through the Cotton Research and Promotion Act, with Cotton Incorporated and the Cotton Board at the national level. But also, just trying to, kind of keep cotton at the forefront of people's and consumers' minds when they're out there making those buying decisions. And then, of course, the research side of that coin, we're very involved in research activities and trying to do those things that will benefit producers and make them have a better chance to be profitable in all of their endeavors, whether that's breeding new cotton varieties, coming up with new traits and management techniques that can help producers, save money, save resources, do things in a more efficient manner. All of those things are important and are activities that we continue to do on a daily basis here at Plains Cotton Growers. And we're really proud of a lot of those results that we've had through the years, and we hope that we can continue to serve the producers of West Texas for many more years to come.
Sean, I don't have the numbers from 65 years ago, but I do have the numbers from, 1925. And the estimate that year was 46 million acres of cotton planted in the United States in 1925, which if I've done a decent job here, that would have been the most acres of cotton planted in the U.S. In 1983, 7.9 million acres, which I guess would be the low. And I use that as a is really two-pronged here. One, since that time back in the 1920s, we've seen really the center of production of cotton move further west because the majority of the cotton is now grown in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Kansas, that region. So as that's happened, what do we look for as far as acreage in 2022? Any ideas?
Well, you know, I think that generally we will see, and I think that the most recent surveys from the USDA and the National Cotton Council that we've seen over the last couple of months kind of bear out that we will, we do anticipate to see more cotton acres planted in 2022, and that's, you know, a direct result of the strength of the cotton price. But as you said, you know, that bulk of those plantings that we anticipate, which is going to be right around the 12 million acre mark, you know, the bulk of those, you know, 6 to 7.5 million or so acres are expected to be in Texas. And if you kind of bring that even closer to home, we would anticipate somewhere, you know, very, you know, plus or minus 100,000 acres or so to be right around the 4 million acres planted mark just here on the high plains of Texas. So, you know, if you go with that 12 million acre projection, we could easily see a third of the U.S. cotton acres planted right here in the Texas Panhandle and down, you know, through the Permian Basin, the Plains Cotton Grower Service Area. So, you know, it's going to be really kind of the place to watch, I think, especially as we go into 2022. I mean, it's no secret to anybody in the country that you know, those strong prices are spurring some plantings, and certainly we're very hopeful that we'll be able to take advantage of that. But our conditions, you know, really aren't in all that great a shape right now. We're pretty dry here on the plains, much like we were last year. But maybe if it's possible, I think we could be even drier than we were then. A year ago today, and you know, it's going to take, you know, a turnaround in our forecast over the next few weeks and to get some, you know, some pretty significant rainfall in here to put us in a position to get off to, you know, to a really strong start in 2022. So you know, we're certainly going to keep our fingers crossed that Mother Nature's going to cooperate and give us a chance to get, you know, these 4 million odd acres of cotton that we anticipate being planted. You know, give them a chance to get off to a good start and give producers a chance to take advantage, you know, of this really strong market price that we're seeing and that, you know, by all indications is expected to carry through into, you know, the harvest season for 2022 next fall. Like I say, you know, everything is a little bit in flux right now, but we're very hopeful that we'll begin to get, you know, a few of those spring systems to come through here and hopefully, you know, put us in a little bit better position to get this crop planted in 2022 here on the plains. In other parts of the state, you know, the crop is already being planted or has been planted, especially like down in the lower Rio Grande Valley. They apparently are off to a pretty good start. They've got some decent moisture situations down there. So that valley, that earliest crop in the United States that's planted, is off to a pretty good start from what we hear. But as we, you know, move up the coast of Texas to that next region of planting that we see each year, conditions are, I think, a little bit more marginal. I think they've been able to get the crop planted, but they certainly, I think, would be first in line for some rainfall to kind of help keep that thing going and get it off to a good start themselves. So, you know, certainly with cotton and you know, agriculture in general, nothing's really cast in stone until Mother Nature has her say, and we're definitely going to be, you know, kind of in a wait and see mode for much of this growing season as we kind of continue to kind of just work our way through the situation and see what Mother Nature gives us to work with.
Only a few minutes left here, but you mentioned it, the 65th annual meeting wrapping up just last week. What were the highlights? If you were to go back and just kind of summarize what the highlights of that meeting were, what would those be?
You know, I think that, you know, we had a really great program. We had, you know, David Wasserman was there to present us, you know, a really good overview of the political landscape as we head into this very, very crucial midterm election cycle, you know, that's going to come around in the fall and could very well, end up changing the balance of power in both the House of Representatives and in the Senate. Which is going to be, you know, very impactful for, you know, our next farm bill, which, you know, is right around the corner when it comes to consideration for our next farm bill. So that was a very good talk and kind of helped people kind of get a feel for that. But I think another real highlight, was the presentation that we had from Tiffany Lashmuth, our Ag Extension legal lawyer that works with the Texas AgriLife Extension Service, gave us a really great program on, you know, what to look for and what to watch out for when it comes to, you know, these carbon credit trading programs that many people are, you know, really seeing a lot more information about. You know, we're being inundated with, you know, many different types of carbon programs and contracts, and she has some really great advice for producers on, you know, what to look for and what to watch out for when it comes to considering whether or not to participate in some of those programs and sign contracts in regard to that. So really just a good program and, you know, something that if, you know, folks get the opportunity, I would encourage them to be able to go back and listen to some of those presentations as we can hopefully find ways to make those available.
Again, if we want to keep up with what's going on at Plains Cotton Growers, website a good place to go?
I think that's probably the best place to start is the PCG website, www.plainscotton.org. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of really great information there. Of course, access to our archives with some of our newsletters and some of the information that we've been able to provide over, you know, recent weeks. And also some good historical information as well. So that's a really good place. But also don't want folks to forget to maybe consider signing up for our email service that we have where we can send out information pertinent to cotton producers on a fairly regular basis. And then also keeping an eye on, you know, our Twitter and Facebook locations as well, because we're able to share a lot of really good information through those avenues as well. And certainly a good place for producers to interact with us and for us to interact with producers on a more one-to-one basis.
Again, the website address, plainscotton.org. He's the Director of Research and Policy Analysis, Sean Wade, with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's simple. You want better, more nutritious feed? Start with a better, more impressive baler. Introducing the new Massey Ferguson 4100V RB series of silage balers. They're the kind of rugged, hard-working machines you can count on to handle everything your operation demands season after season. Work faster in more conditions on more crop types. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early season nematodes, resulting in healthier seedlings and improved plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin in-furrow solution registered for nematodes in cotton, and it's fully compatible with liquid fertilizers and other crop inputs. To learn more about Averland FC, talk to your retailer or go to vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. You can find out more about Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A new program introduced Thursday by USDA will assist some ranchers who faced an increase in supplemental feed costs last year. Farm Service Agency Deputy Administrator Scott Marlow talks about the Emergency Livestock Relief Program.
This is to cover the additional costs of feed and grazing outside of the in-season grazing periods that were covered in other programs.
Ranchers with approved applications through the 2021 Livestock Forage Disaster Program for losses of grazing acres due to drought or wildfire will soon begin receiving disaster assistance payments through the Emergency Livestock Relief Program.
The farmer does not have to go in and fill out an application or anything like that. These payments will be processed automatically based on the information already submitted through their LFP application and their LFP payments.
The deputy administrator says the initial payments are part of the first phase of a two-phase program. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.